Alan Kring Productions in association with the Emergent Light Studio presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Financial Management MBA 440 for Spring Semester 2022. Tonight, stock and stock valuation. Now, if you want to be fancy, you don't say stock, you say equity. Yes, well, I invest in equities. In other words, you buy stock and sell stock. Nothing fancy about that. But we do say equities to a certain extent. Now, understand that debt, which I taught you about, bonds, notes, bills, and all that kind of stuff, that is that has a prior claim. The equity has the residual claim. In other words, you have to take care of your debt holders. Pay the interest on your bonds and bills and all that, pay your workers, pay your suppliers. All of those are debts, and those must be paid in a timely manner according to agreements, and if there's anything left, then the shareholders get that. They have the residual claim. Now, once that money comes there, represented in accounting by the net income or profit or earnings or whatever, what have you, the corporation, on behalf of the shareholders, can do one of two things. It can either, well, it can do both, but it has the option. Let's say that the company made $1,000. Now, it could take all 1,000 of those dollars and plow them back into the company to grow the company. Theoretically, that would make the stock price go up and the shareholders would earn capital gain. It could also give some of that money back to the shareholders as dividends. Early on, companies tend not to pay dividends. They want to have as much money as possible to plow back in and grow the company. But later on, they have dividends. Now, I'll get into details, and this is great stuff for questions on an exam, the details of how stock works. But just as a brief mention, there are there are actually more, but your book goes through three separate ways to value the stock of a company. Whichever way you use, you are finding an intrinsic value, a long-term value of that stock. Well, we found that the present value of whatever method we used was $100 million, and there are 10 million shares of stock outstanding, which would mean that we find that the price per share is $10, 100 million total equity divided by 10 million shares. That doesn't mean that the stock price is going to be $10. Intrinsic value is a long-run value. Now, I might see that the stock right now is selling for $8 a share. That would mean that the stock right now is undervalued in terms of its long-term potential. Or I could find that right now the stock is running at $15 a share, and that would tell me that the stock is overvalued at its current price. But what we're doing in this exercise is, in finance, there is a place for the quick trades and the dirty, fast buy and sell environment. I kind of live in that environment in my professional work outside of the classroom. But the responsible person, whether you're working for a company, for your family, for a trust fund, a pension fund, whatever it is you're doing for stock, we are teaching you about long term. How you look at the long term. I know that the long term value of this stock is $10 per share. So that is where I am aiming. I'm looking out there. If I see that it's $8 a share, then I'll put some in my portfolio. Okay? If I see that it is right now $15 a share, I'll shed some from my portfolio. because it's overpriced right now. But the entire mission is to hold on and keep your eye on that guiding star out there, what we do here. This is math. It's not an opinion. A lot of those guys on the TV networks, they talk from their gut. Well, I feel that. Well, I think. No, we have math that does it. But math is not sexy on TV. Well, let's look at these equations. Boy, oh boy, is that one going to really get all you people out there in the audience turned on. Yes, sir. No, it's not. No, it's not. So you see, what you hear on the TV is not reality. It is a show. Just like reality TV isn't reality. It's a show. And I want to convince you that what we're doing here is science. It's not the stuff of Kramer and all those kinds of idiots like that. They make their money doing a show. We make the future holding to the principles. That's my kind of lecture for the night. And forgive me if I sound a little preachy about that, because a lot of, and this isn't you, mostly my young students in the undergrad work, they see me as this trader, and boy, I'll bet you know some ways to make money today. What are you buying? What are you selling? And it takes a while to bring them out of that and say, look, you need to grow up now. It's time for you to be an adult. And that means you look at yourself and you look at your family, you look at your company, whatever it is you're managing, you look at it out there. That's kind of hard to do, especially when they think that I'm good at what I do, which I'm not. Not in the short run anyway. Look, okay, so stock. It is equity. It represents ownership interest in the company. When I form a company, one of the articles of incorporation says, the capital stock of this corporation shall be divided into 100 million shares of common stock, par value, some tiny amount per share. And then from that authorized pool, you will sell some to raise equity capital. Maybe you'll do an IPO of 5 million shares at $20 a share, something like that. The whole purpose there is that the authorized is this massive ocean of stock. That's what you start with. You can't change it once you've set it. And so from that, you will sell some, and that will be your shares outstanding. So, I have in my corporation, it's a close corporation. There are only, the capital stock is divided into 1,000 shares of common stock. Now, we used to capitalize common, and you really should even to this day because it's a proper noun. Just like preferred stock is a proper noun. But we're talking about common stock right now. Right now, the company has 501 shares authorized and outstanding. So there are still 499 shares that I could sell at some point in the future to a potential second owner. Okay? Now, with a huge, ginormous, massive corporation, they will sometimes authorize up to 1 billion shares or 100 billion shares. I ran into this company when I was consulting many years ago. They had reverse merged into a dead public company. It's a trick that used to be done. They've tried to make it illegal. But what it does is a private company doesn't want to go through all the paperwork that makes you a public company. So we had a dead public company. We couldn't even find even the officers were probably all dead. The shareholders had given up years ago. So this was what we call a dead public shell. And so we found the charter, and it said that there were 1 million shares of stock outstanding. Now, that's not a lot, because they had sold about 800,000 shares when the company was alive. So there were only 200,000 shares left to sell. And we needed some of those for our officers. It was a mess, because they did not authorize enough stock for the future. So if you're going to form a corporation, make sure you authorize in the articles of incorporation a sufficient number of shares for offerings down the road, your IPO, your seasoned offerings, in other words, second offerings you do down the road, and tertiary offerings. Okay, enough of that. Common stock is the normal type of stock. It swings with the company's fortunes, up and down. Not even with the company's fortunes, it swings with the rumors in the market. Matter of fact, there's a famous old saying, and I've taught my students who want to be traders, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. I mean, that the common stock will just swing violently, up and down, wildly. Has a high degree of risk. Remember I talked about that overall risk? Yeah, those stocks just swing wildly. You get them into a portfolio and they behave themselves better, but on their own, they move around a lot for a couple of reasons. One is, if it's a young company, you don't have any dividend to count on. You are riding the capital gains. That's all you've got. Another reason is that, I mean, if the company makes a profit, you benefit. If the company makes a loss, it's your butts that are in trouble, because if you don't have enough to pay the bondholders, then they shut you down. So it's risky, it's volatile, and that's where the action is. But there's enough. So we've got common stock. Now, it's interesting because you do want to keep an eye out for this. And I'm going to show you something here. You think about common stock. Really? However, there can be different classifications. You could have what's called classified common stock. In other words, there are several classes. Let me go into a little detail on this. Common stock, every share of common stock has the one vote for the board of directors, for each board member. So in other words, you are a slate of prospective directors. I own a share of stock. I have one vote for the president of the board, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer, if that's all there are, four officers. I get one vote for each of them. Now, in some cases, in some charters, in some of the constitutions and bylaws, I can concentrate. So you, I really hate you. So I'm going to just take all four of my shares and vote for this sorry man, because he's not quite as sorry as you are on the sorry-ass scale, okay? You're a sorry-ass 3. You, sir, are a sorry-ass 10. So I'm going to focus all my shares and vote four votes for him, and you guys are on your own. Okay, you can do that. That's not all companies. You have to look to see how the voting works. But you do have voting rights with the common stock. And you have the right to go to a meeting and vote. The annual shareholders meeting, you can go there and have a word. I speak on behalf of everyone when I say that he is a fool. And you, sir, are. So I would like to see him. Or I protest your policy in some way. As a matter of fact, there are some cases where there are these special interest groups that buy stock just so they can go to the annual shareholders meeting and bitch. They don't have enough shares to do anything, but they can make a scene. A good example of that was back in the 1990s. There was an anti-smoking group that bought shares of Wendy's, and they'd go to the annual shareholders meetings and they would speak their piece. We want you to have a no-smoking policy in your restaurants. There are ones for animal rights. As a matter of fact, right now there's a big issue with McDonald's. It has horrible animal treatment practices, especially with pigs. And so there, Carl Icahn stepping in, he says, it's going to be different here. I'm going to have enough votes that I can make trouble for you if you don't get rid of the directors who think it's okay to behave like this. But one way or the other, okay, you have voting rights. However, you may be in a situation where you have not just one class of common stock, but you have several classes. You might have a class A and a class B. Now, the book is a little bit thin on this point, and I want to emphasize it. You've got to be careful when you buy stock. Because in a company like this, the class A would probably be founders' shares, the original family's shares. And most of the time, those have super voting, 10 votes per share or 100 votes per share, so that they can always be in control. So that even if there are a lot, hundreds of thousands, millions of shareholders, they still cannot overvote what is the will of the founders. Ford is an example. Let me show you one. Are any of you familiar with Berkshire Hathaway? Now, Berkshire Hathaway B, those are baby Berks, we call them. They're kind of expensive, but you could buy one. You would have the right to vote for Warren Buffett and his lackeys at the shareholders' meeting. You could go there and you could hang out. And of course, if I went there, they'd throw me out because they think I was some kind of Yeti sneaking in for the all-you-can-eat buffet. No, I want to see Buffett, not buffet? That's a good buffet. No, anyway. So, however, do you really think Warren and his crew are going to let the heathens who own baby Berks control? No, they're going to own the Class A, which has supermajority voting rights. So you would probably, if you wanted to affect the board of directors, if you wanted to hang out with Warren, literally, you could sit in the same room with him and kiss his ring finger, you'd buy a Berk A. That's one share. You see that, right? So you want to check under the seat of your car if you got enough change to get one of those puppies, or buy a round lot of 100 of them. Look at that price. $472,257 for one share, but that's a super voting share, and that means you are in the in crowd with that. So there's your goal in life, is to have one of those. That's the big Berk, as they call it, as opposed to the baby Berk. But again, you can see how valuable it is because, for no other reason, you have literal power to vote director positions. And you go to that shareholders meeting, and you will get a lot more respected if you go in there with a couple of baby Berks in your pocket. Now, do you have to go to the shareholders meeting? No. You can vote by proxy. You guys, you're probably going to send out a proxy statement saying to all the shareholders, saying, please give us your shares and we'll vote for ourselves because we are so good. We're so cool. Literally, you can do that. The proxy will give... You send them to... You guys, all the shareholders, and then you'll vote for yourselves, for the slate of directors. Now, I might be outside. I might have bought a position, a stake, maybe about 2, 3%. If you buy too much, you have to report to the SEC. But what I might do is say, I'll send out a counter proxy. These fools have run this company into the ground. We would like to have my group and my slate would like to have your proxy so that we can vote us in and get them out, or at least get some of them out by concentrating our votes. Now, if the shareholders are disgruntled, that can work. That's one way you can execute a hostile takeover, is by proxy, by a counter proxy. How common is it? Back in my time, it was pretty common. Matter of fact, I was involved in some proxy fights for board positions. Once we actually got two, a couple of times we got one, but You see, once that kind of proxy war starts, it can be quite nasty because you guys see trouble ahead. So what you're going to do is probably, I'm a black knight, I'm a predator. You might find a white knight, another company that will buy its own stake and buy up shares and support you in the vote for the board of directors. That is not that uncommon. See, the white knight could get hurt in this because it's going to start a bidding war for the stock price. As the white knight buys shares to get its position, the black knight is probably going to buy shares too to gather its voting position on its own. Then we'll have counter-proxy, counter-counter-proxy for the proxy. It can get messy. But one way or the other, the stock price will probably go up. That will benefit the company itself. The shareholders, you guys who are just normal shareholders, you'll say, yeah, this is cool. The white knight and the black knight are probably going to get damaged. Whoever wins is going to overpay for the company, and it will just be what's called winner's curse. We'll just keep bidding until we win. It's almost an ego battle at that point, because whoever loses is going to take a big hit on their stock price, because everyone's going to say, you wasted all that money in a proxy war and you lost, and that'll tank their stock. So there is a serious stake involved. There are other ways that you can protect yourselves. There are other what are called poison pills. You can do things to the company that make it very untasty to take. You could, for example, give yourselves golden parachutes so that if I do kick you off, you guys leave with very, very nice severance packages. That's a poison pill. Another poison pill you could take on, you could start acquiring debt and buy back to the company's treasury stock of the company yourselves to drive up the stock price to make it less desirable to the black knight. Use your own company's money to buy back stock. Now, there's the next thing. Treasury stock is stock that the company had issued sometime in the past, and then it buys it back and it puts it back into its own treasury where it's safe. That's a big problem now politically. There are a lot of companies that are involved in very heavy repurchases of their own stock. The question is, why? One answer is they're protecting from hostile takeovers. But in some cases, there's no way it's a hostile takeover. Microsoft is doing this. No one's going to try to take Microsoft. So why would they be doing it? Because they're making it less and less the people's company and making it more and more the founders' insiders' company. You see, because by buying back all those shares that are out there floating around in the secondary market, they absorb those, and then that's fewer outsiders who are voting for directors' positions. And that also, ultimately, the company, if it buys back all of its shares or enough of its shares, it can go private again. It no longer is a public company. It no longer has to do all of its disclosures to the SEC and therefore to everyone. It can become a secret again. That's a very dangerous thing for companies.